Prince, say the host, Sri Krishna. نجعل الناس ويقول الناس يستطور أدرين سيسي ربك السنة دوتنا سنكوندا ربك كوندا إيدي غوران كجان رنا من كجان وچرنا من كجان جان بسامي كجان مرماني كجان سمالي واسطين كجان سامي لبقتا ورن كجان Go, all glories to the seven devotees, all glories to the seven devotees, all glories to the seven devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Go, so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 12th chapter, text 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yeah.
the Gendra, the lion, Eva, like Vikranta,
powerful,
Nishaya, worthy of taking shelter, Himavan, the Himalaya mountains, Eva,
like
Titikshu,
forbearance,
Vasudha Eva,
like the earth,
Asau,
the child,
Sahishnu,
tolerance,
Pitarau,
parents,
Eva,
like.
Translation. This child will be as strong as a lion and as worthy a shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He'll be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. So purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One is compared to the lion when one is very strong in chasing an enemy. One should be a lamb at home and a lion on the chase. The lion never fails in the chase of an animal. Similarly, the head of the state should never fail in chasing an enemy. The Himalaya Mountains are famous for all richness. There are innumerable caves to live in, numberless trees of good fruits to eat, good springs to drink water from, and profuse drugs and minerals to cure diseases. Any man who is not materially prosperous can take shelter of these great mountains, and he will be provided with everything required. Both the materialist and the spiritualist can take advantage of the great shelter of the Himalayas. On the surface of the earth, there are many so-called disturbances caused by the inhabitants. In the modern age, the people have begun to detonate atomic weapons on the surface of the earth. And still the earth is forbearing to the inhabitants. Like a mother who excuses a little child. Parents are always tolerant to children for all sorts of mischievous acts. An ideal king may be possessed of all these good qualities, and the child, Pariksha, is foretold to have all these qualities in perfection. So again, the verse. Yendraiva vikranto nishevyo imavan diva tikshur vasudeva sao sahishnu pitarav viva. So Omagana Timananda Shah Ranjana Chilakaya Chakshur Minitam Yena Tasmai Shivale Maha. So these qualities that are being described here are qualities of a Kshatriya, not necessarily always of a Brahman, which is really important because a Brahman basically should not be like a lion and shouldn't be very strong at chasing his enemy. A brahmana has to be a jata satrava sampa. A brahmana has to be those or someone who doesn't consider anyone to be his or her enemies. That's a brahmana. A brahman Vaishnava. And actually interesting, Prabhupada gave this example. One should be like a lamb, a kshatriya, at home, and a lion in the chase. And Prabhupada specifically used this example for the preaching of Krishna consciousness. And specifically, he applied it to ladies. Because Prabhupada, very interestingly enough, and really it was sort of like a little change in the culture in India. Prabhupada employed the ladies in preaching Krishna consciousness. Although many people nowadays, they tend to be a little chauvinistic, especially here in Fiji. Chauvinism, probably what that is. Anyway, there's machoism, chauvinism, discrimination according to gender.
which is actually illegal, even in Fiji.
So Prabhupada did something very unique. He had the ladies go out and preach, and not only preach, but distribute books. You know, go door to door and distribute books. I mean, amazing change. I mean, India wasn't a tradition. You never heard about the ladies going and traveling and preaching. And so in America, we have lady traveling sankirtan parties. I don't think you've had that in Fiji yet. But when I first came here in Fiji, there was one brahmachari traveling sankirtan party. That unfortunately, that party was very independent from the local authorities. And Vasudev Prabhu, he asked me to preach to them. Because they wouldn't listen to him. So I sat down with these brahmacharis and preached to them, you know, very strongly, you have to cooperate with the local authorities. And they didn't listen to me. And later on, they all got married. So, every single one of them, even though they had all taken a vow to get married, you know, they all vowed to each other, women and men. So now they have another authority, their wives. So, superior authority. So Prabhupada had the ladies traveling. They had their own traveling sankirtan vehicles. They would drive their vans and buses and whatever else and travel all over the United States. The United States is quite big. And Prabhupada was giving instructions to them. He said, when you're going out distributing books, even the ladies, they should be like lions. But he said, this is actually very much related with what Prabhupada said in the purport. He said, but at home they should be like lambs. Not that the lady comes home to her husband and she's like a lion with her husband. So it's hard to switch gears like that. You know, when you're out preaching, it's very hard. But anyway, and so then Prabhupada considered the preaching of Krishna consciousness to be like a kshatriya activity. Just like we're hearing about, you know, all these different kshatriya qualities here. And of course there's more kshatriya qualities than those that are listed here. For example, kshatriya qualities, Ishwara Bhava, he has this controlling propensity. You know, he likes to manage, he likes to be in charge. A kshatriya means his own village at least, like the Pandavas. This is proposed to Duryodhana, that you can make peace if you give each of the Pandavas, what, one village. And Duryodhana said, I'm not going to give as much land as they can fit, sorry, on the head of a pin. So, you know, they need some facility like that. So, but Prabhupada expected his disciples to be like kshatriyas. In fact, Prabhupada was like a lion too in his preaching of Krishna consciousness. And even Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, your great grand spiritual master, he was called Nrisinga Guru. That was one of his names. Why was he called Nrisinga Guru? Because not only did he preach very strongly, actually there's many instances of this. One time he was preaching against some bogus person who had come up with a bogus mantra in Jagannath Puri. And this person was a very popular preacher. So he preached so strongly against him, there was a riot against Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They wanted to kill him, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur, his father, had to send him out of Jagannath Puri just to save his life. You know, very, very bold preaching. Very, very bold. And, did so many bold preaching activities and strategies. He initiated people from all the different castes, gave them Brahmin initiation, gave sannyasi to people of, you know, really low caste externally, you know, birth caste, which is now bona fide. And what he did was bona fide, but the birth caste is not bona fide. So he gave sannyas to people, and then basically his disciples and he were attacked, and there was an attempt against his life for doing that. And they were throwing stones on the devotees when they were going on parikrama around Vrindavan, because the Brahmanas could not tolerate it, so-called Brahmanas. So he was very, very strong. Even so strong that he opposed the Diksha Guru of his father. His father's Diksha Guru was Vipini Vihari Goswami. And ultimately, Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted as his actual guru, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur refused even to offer obeisances to his father's guru. And his father's guru said to his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, why didn't your son offer obeisances? And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, because he's taken a vow not to go within 100 meters of the Sahaja. You know, oh my God. You know, there's a real lion group. And not only that, he sometimes would go up to Mayavadis and say, why are you preaching this nonsense? Not only why are you preaching this nonsense, if you think that everything is one, why are you not wearing a ball of cotton instead of a shirt? You know, just like a little cotton ball. And then he would pick them up like this, by their neck. He was tall. He was actually a strong, tall, very tall person, much taller than me, taller than any of you. And he would grab them like this, and they were scared of him. Literally. Mayavadis were scared. And actually, you'd see that Spenali Shiva Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but all of our acharyas, the main acharyas, like Shripad Madhvacharya, not only was Madhvacharya a very strong preacher, because he was also Vayuputra, the son of Vayu, the wind god, the brother of, he was the brother of Hanuman, brother of Bhimsen. He used to even wrestle with his disciples. Can you imagine that? I don't do that with my disciples. Can you imagine the guru? Guru says, all right, time for Guru Puja, who wants to wrestle? So, and then he was so strong, you know, there's many stories about his strength. Then one time there was a wrestler who was challenged to a fight. And he said to the wrestler, the famous wrestler, see if you can even move my one big toe. He wasn't able to move the rest of us. So anyway, so that's a real lion guru. And then, of course, Sripad Ramanujacharya too. All these acharyas, Bhartacharya, Vishnu Swami, they traveled all over and challenged the Mayavad philosophers. They were like lions. Yeah, Madhvacharya was definitely like a lion. And all of them challenging this impersonal philosophy. And you know, even in Prabhupada's Pranam mantra, you know, the second Pranam mantra. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari Nirvishesha Srinivasa Paschajite Chitari. Nirvishesha, you know, Prabhupada's come to the Western world basically to smash the impersonalism and voidism. And even Prabhupada, just some things are coming to mind. Prabhupada said that his some of the other disciples of his guru complained about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, he preaches too strongly. Prabhupada said, his guru used the cutting technique. You know, cutting. Because that's the business of the guru. The guru is supposed to be heavy and cut down the Maya. From the impersonalist, or the materialist, that's the business of the guru. So that's really very, very important insofar as preaching Krishna consciousness. And then, of course, at home, the interesting point is, we should be like lambs, not that we are like lions with the other devotees. You know, going out and preaching, Kshatriya spirit. Oh yeah, another story about Prabhupada. In the final days, Prabhupada, just having that Kshatriya spirit, he wanted to live, to die on the battlefield. There's that story that Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and he went to the mandir. He asked Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj, take me to London to preach. And then he wanted to go to the United States to establish a farm. And the friends were saying, you're just a bunch, you could die. Prabhupada said, give me the blessing of dying on the battlefield. You know, I don't want to die, you know, the Prabhupada said, and he actually said, we don't want any like little sit-down devotees, we want fighters at that particular point. So Prabhupada very much emphasized that, you know, fighting for Krishna, Nrsimha, Lord Nrsimhadev. And of course then contrasting that with a lamb at home. So how does one contrast, or how does one deal with these two contrasting or conflicting types of emotions? It's quite interesting. So you're with the devotees and all of a sudden you have to calm down. It'd be nice. And the way you do that is you have to be very much controlled by your intelligence. That's another Kshatriya principle. That a Kshatriya, he's intelligent. He's not just like a fighter. Like even Bhimsen, you know, some people picture the Bhimsen just like, it was like some boxer we see across the street. Just punching a punching bag. And you hear these stories sometimes that depict Bhimsen like that. Like the story when he was killing Kichika. You know, Kichika? And so when they were in the kingdom of Virat, so it described that he just kept punching him. And by the time he was finished, Kichika looked like a punching bag. You know, he was a round ball of flesh. So sometimes you hear that about Bhimsen, and you think, wow. He's not uncontrolled. He wasn't uncontrolled. He was intelligent. And so the Kshatriyas have to have that intelligence too, to control their different feelings, emotions, and to control their strength. They weren't just Shudra. The Shudra can't control his strength. And they have a very strong Shudra. Sometimes people define Kshatriya as someone who likes to fight. But Kshatriya is not someone who likes to fight. He'll fight if he's challenged. But what he likes to do is Kshatriya. Sometimes Prabhupada would pronounce the word Kshatriya as Kshatriya. It's interesting. I was listening to a class. Prabhupada. Sometimes he would say Kshatriya, sometimes he would say Kshatriya. I guess in different parts of India they pronounce it differently. So Kshatriya likes to protect. Isn't it? He protects the other classes. And that's his move. And he uses his intelligence in how to do that. So we need Kshatriyas in the Krishna Conscious Movement. And we need preachers who are like Kshatriyas in the Krishna Conscious Movement. And as far as tolerance, that's a very important quality of a Kshatriya. Traditionally, a Brahmin was not that tolerant physically. Just like the story we have of Karna. You know, Karna was a Kshatriya. Because obviously he had Kshatriya mother and father. You know, sun god Kunti. You understand? Sun god was his father. Kunti was his mother. But he didn't know that he was a Kshatriya. He didn't know until the end, when you got to the battle of Kurukshetra, that he was the son of Kunti. So he took up his education, he thought he was a Shudra, he took up his education with Parashuram. Yesterday we told the story about Parashuram. So he took up his education with Parashuram, and he told Parashuram he was a Brahmin. Okay. And so Parashuram was instructing him how to perform all these different martial arts and weapons and everything like that. And then what happened is that one day he was assisting Parashuram, and Parashuram was taking a little nap, and he had his head on the lap of his disciple, Karna. And this big creature, a little creature, described to him, Mahabharata, had like big teeth and legs and everything. Well, you can imagine like a super cockroach. Let's see, let's put it that way. And it was burrowing into the skin and flesh of Karna. And Karna was thinking, I don't want to disturb my Guru Maharaj. And so he uses intelligence. Here's the point about intelligence again. So he uses intelligence in controlling the pain that he was feeling. He was feeling pain. That's a Kshatriya, obviously. So he used his intelligence to control it. He didn't say anything, didn't move, just tolerated. And then in his toleration, some of the blood came out and it dripped on his guru, Parashuram. And Parashuram woke up and said, what's this? Yeah, blood. And he said, Guru Maharaj, you know, I have this cut here, you know, big bug. And his guru said, why didn't you wake up? And wake me up. You know, why didn't you do something? How could you tolerate something like that? So that's one of the qualities of Brahman. Physically, they don't tolerate too well. And they like sweets. You know, one of the qualities of the Brahmin, they like sweets. One of the qualities of the Kshatriya, they like chili peppers a lot. So I can tell everyone here is mixed caste. Because they like sweets and chili peppers, right? And too much salt. Too much salt, that's why everyone has high blood pressure and heart disease. So Parashuram, he looked at Karna and said, you are not a Brahmin. You are a Kshatriya. And Parashuram, basically he didn't know he was a Kshatriya, but he had Kshatriya tendencies. And he apologized, Guru Maharaj, I knew you wouldn't accept me unless I told you I was a Brahmin. Because Parashuram did not like Kshatriyas. That's why he got very angry even at Ram after Ram broke the bow. You know, he had this whole thing against Kshatriyas. Because the whole story I told yesterday about Kartavir Arjuna and everything like that. So he said, you are a Kshatriya, therefore I curse you. That when it comes time for the final battle of your life, you will forget all the mantras. And then Parashuram said, this is my curse. Guru Maharaj cursed the disciple. It's nice. So, actually, the only time I saw Prabhupada do that was the devotee so offensive that the devotee said, what are your instructions, Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, your duty is to go out and enjoy the material world. He said, but Prabhupada, you're my guru. And Prabhupada said, you don't have a guru. Yeah, that was really, it wasn't a curse spoken like that, but it was a curse for all intents and purposes. So anyway, that's the quality of a kshatriya. And the kshatriya, because physically, he can tolerate anything. Like you see Grandfather Bhishma, when he was rushing at Arjuna, and Arjuna was firing the arrows at him, he was still rushing at Arjuna in spite of being filled with arrows, right? Still rushing at Arjuna. Can you imagine that? His arrows all over his body is described, there wasn't even a finger's width, and the Mahabharata describes this, between the arrows, and you still want to fight. I mean, if one arrow even scratched me, I just lay down. You know, one time, before I joined the movement, we had this wrestling thing in school as part of our physical education. And I said to the other person who was wrestling with me, I said, when they say 1, 2, 3, start, I'm just going to lie down. That was the only course I ever failed in school. Did very badly. So that's a kshatriya that's described. I was actually listening to a class by Prabhupada this morning about this. That a kshatriya would either die in the battlefield or he would come home victorious. There's only two options. There's two options. Die or come home victorious. Or be captured sometime. Something might be captured too. But like Prabhupada told that story about the king. He was fighting and he decided to withdraw from the fight. He came back home. And his wife wouldn't let him back in the castle. His wife said, you're not my husband. So even the ladies, they were like that. You know, ladies, they were powerful. She just like wanted revenge so much she kept her hair down and she said, I'm not putting my hair up again until I get the blood of Dushasana on my hair. You know, kshatriya ladies. Ladies also have a varna too. You know, ladies and men have varnas, and so she was really powerful. So anyway, so this lady says, you're not coming back. You're not my husband. Stay away, you know, until you come back either dead. Imagine love. Either dead or you win the battle. And so the guy goes out and he wins the battle and then, oh, you're my husband. That's such a history. And so anyway, getting back to the devotees, we actually see that same spirit in Prabhupada, the ability to tolerate. So in Kali Yuga, we can't be like the Satyayuga Brahmins anymore. We have to have a combined mentality of Kshatriyas and Brahmins. Prabhupada said, we want devotees like Arjuna, not sit-down devotees. That means toleration of so many things. I mean, Prabhupada went around the world 17 times in a very old body. He tolerated so much. I mean, I can understand this to a certain degree right now because, you know, my body's a little older and how difficult it is to adjust to things. And the devotees, like Shruti Kirti, who traveled with Prabhupada, said that he never said any or complained at all about the time changes between different countries. Just like you go from America to here, it's like 10 hours, or, you know, well, 8 hours actually, 8 or 9 hours away, or to Australia, it's 10 hours away. And that's called jet lag. You've heard of jet lag before? And so, never complained. He just got up early in the morning, regardless. He got up early in the morning, regardless of what time he took rest at night. And he worked regardless of how he felt, the physical body felt. He worked on his Bhaktivedanta purports every single night. And regardless of how he felt, he preached like a lion. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, we have this example there. No complaining. Prabhupada one time was having a spinal tap. You know, I don't know if any of you know what a spinal tap is. It's a very painful type of thing, where they take the fluid, the spinal fluid, and it's just like, it's like intense pain, very intense pain. And devotees ask Prabhupada, is it painful? And Prabhupada just answered, we tolerate. So there's this word here in this verse. Titiksha, forbearance, which means tolerance. And so, why did Prabhupada do that? And that's answered in the final portion of the verse. Sahishnu Pitarao Iva. It was described tolerant, like the parents with the kids. Because Prabhupada, how did he, who is an ultimately Brahmin, become so tolerant like that? You know, even though Brahmins are not like that, they like sweets, etc. like that. Because he had so much compassion and love for all of us. Like we see a parent can tolerate so much. Like sometimes I see the mothers with their children on the airplane, you know. And the child is screaming. And I'm thinking, oh my God, can't they just put a bandage in the mouth of the kid? And everyone else except for the mother is looking at the kid and the mother with like evil eyes. I don't know if you've ever seen this in an airplane. Yeah. And usually I'm sitting close. Sometimes the mother even gives me the child to hold. But anyway, so everybody's like, why is the kid? Shut up! But the mother is loving. Kid is screaming like the siren of an ambulance. And the mother is loving, loving, loving. So, anyway, so the point I'm making, I mean, mother's love is amazing. Like, you know, changing diapers and everything like that. Things that I could never tell. So the point is, Prabhupada had that love for us. We're all, I mean, all, because Prabhupada is a Kripa Sindhu. We're all like Prabhupada's children, isn't it? We're like Prabhupada's children. So Vaishnava is like that. He sees everyone. Yastu sarvani bhutane yatmane evanu pashati. Sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatovani navigupshate. He sees everyone connected to Krishna, and everyone is his relatives. Everyone is his, like children. That's why Prabhupada said, you're ever well-wisher. Ever well-wisher means always you're well-wisher, regardless. And so that's how a devotee can act like a lion, in spite of having brahminical tendencies. It's interesting, isn't it? In spite of having brahminical tendencies, you can really be lion-like, because that's what's needed for the sake of saving people. When you're going out and preaching, you understand that unless you give them Krishna consciousness, their next life will be that of an animal. You know, like people fish here. Next life will be fish. Unless, yesterday we were driving by some place that was talking about, we dress animals. So I asked Parmeshwar, they put clothes on the animals? Is that what they mean? And he said, no, that means they take off all the flesh and clean up the body. So this is going on. I mean, it's disgusting. And so these people will become those animals. They will be dressed in their next lives. And, you know, we have to understand it's urgent. It's a fire. It's like if there's a fire, you may not be a fireman or a fire brigade man, as they say here. But you go and you'll try to save the baby in the house, isn't it? I mean, I would. Normally, I'm very much afraid of fire. But if I understand that there's a baby in the house, I would go into the house. So normally a Brahmin is very, can't tolerate. But for the sake of helping people with compassion, then like that. So these are descriptions here of Parikshit Maharaj, who is a Kshatriya, but also pure devotee. Brahminical tendencies too. So any questions or comments? Oops, 7 o'clock. Yeah. I think we have to be determined to chant nicely. The determination has to come from our sankalpa. You understand? The determination. I mean, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra will purify not just this, but ultimately it's our desire. You know, it has to come from your desire. What do you want? Do you want to be Krishna conscious? And you want to help other people. I mean, our whole business, the whole reason for temples, the whole reason for any organization of the Krishna conscious movement is people. People are not meant for the movement is meant for people. Buildings, the movement is not meant for, people are not meant for buildings are meant for people. You understand? The reason we install deities are for people, not for Krishna's sake. Krishna gets a lot better service in the spiritual world. Even in the best temples in the world, they cannot render service 1/1,000,000,000 as good as the Lakshmis in the spiritual world. And I think it's time. By Lord Chaitanya's grace, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, all glories to His mighty grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
All right. Jai, Shishi Gornatai, Gornatai Ki Jai.
Shesha Shoba Govinda Jai Mangal Bihari Ki Jai
Govinda Hare Krishna Jani Angani Asya Shagalan Driadri Timanti Shanti Panti Kanti Ram Jaganti Anganati Mayataru Jwala Vigrasya Govindan
Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman.
Oh. Hamsa Paramahacharya of Tela
Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Charanada Bhattavananda Gosami, Marishila Prabhupad Gijai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Shila Prabhupad Gijai.